Welcome everyone to today's ILTA 15-minute podcast interview entitled Why AI Should Be Part of Your Data Breach Response Plan. I'm your moderator. My name is Andrea Shirey. I'm an e-discovery expert at Bayer Corporation. And this is the third part to our series. And we have Dan Donegan, who is the business director at TextIQ. So welcome, Dan. You want to give a quick introduction, please?
Sure. Yeah, Andrea, thanks for having me back. For those who didn't see the prior podcast, I work with a lot of our in-house legal teams, so both folks within litigation support or e-discovery, as well as some of the litigators themselves, to help them leverage AI in a variety of ways. One of those is helping them to respond to data breaches when they unfortunately occur. So excited for today's conversation.
All right, let's jump in. So what do you see as the status quo for how companies react when they've learned of a data breach? And what are maybe some of the pitfalls?
Sure. Yeah. So like I mentioned, a lot of my time I spend working with e-discovery teams or in-house legal teams more broadly. But when a breach occurs, it tends to be a wider, more cross-functional audience. Typically, you've got a cyber team or privacy team, maybe an incident response team who has realized something has happened and is leading the charge, but then they loop in their friends in legal or e-discovery just based on those teams' expertise in identifying different types of sensitive information. Oftentimes, personal information, things that you would need to be able to find in a data breach that you also need to be able to identify and redact from a data set for litigation, as an example. So while it can be a cross-functional group internally within an organization that is rallying to react to the problem, there's also usually a large team outside of the organization that also is involved. So it's typically a combination of a law firm and or some sort of manager review vendor or service provider, just to provide the bodies to actually help with doing any of the review that the search terms hit on. And I think the process is just fundamentally a little different from kind of the classic e-discovery workflows that teams might be used to for an investigation or a litigation. And this actually came up at an AI bootcamp that we had hosted a few weeks ago on the West Coast. And for those listening, we have a few more coming up, one in DC in August, another in New York City in October. And during one of the data breach sessions that we were hosting, a panelist, I think, encapsulated the challenge really well. And what he said is, unlike a litigation where first you figure out the custodians and then you can focus on collecting their data and whittling it down, with a breach, you first need to figure out what was even impacted. Was it an email server, some other type of database? And then you've got to figure out, is it HR data? Perhaps there's customers' data in there. Is there PI in there? And then also, what's the context? Ransom being demanded. Is law enforcement involved? So I think it's just probably important up front for this podcast to acknowledge that not all breaches are the same. But once you do know what data sources are impacted, then that army of people, both internal and external, typically are starting to put eyes on any sort of hits that the regular expressions or search terms are producing. And so some of the pitfalls to that approach, and we can touch on this in our last podcast too, regular expressions and search terms are imperfect. They can either be really specific and narrow, and then things that aren't perfectly formatted can slip through the cracks, right? Like a social security number that's not in the 3-2-4 format you might expect. You can loosen them up. You start pulling in a lot of junk, or you get a lot of other near misses. And typically during a breach response, time is of the essence. So wasting time looking at things unnecessarily is something that you want to avoid as much as possible. And there's also, a lot of false positives that the regular expressions could pull in because it was formatted perfectly, but it didn't understand the context in which that data was appearing. And it actually might've been a business phone number versus a personal phone number, one requiring a notification, the other not. So, I think in terms of status quo, that's at least what I've seen in my few years working in this space.
So what do you think would be the advantages that AI could offer based on this kind of traditional status quo you were talking about?
Yeah, so maybe I'll go back to the last example around phone numbers and understanding context. right? If the AI has that ability to not just understand, okay, I've identified this data that matches a specific regex, but I also can look for clues around that data to say, hey, this might say personal cell versus business phone number, or there's a clue that says DOB versus just a random, you know, date that's in an email. Those clues can really help cut down on the false positives, and can be flagged to any sort of human reviewer who is putting eyes on that document so that they're really quickly able to figure out, why did this make it into my pile or not? So cutting down the false positives, I think, you know, is a clear advantage that the AI has. And when you're also dealing with really large documents, like Excels, for example, you know, individual Excels I've heard can, you know, take hours, if not days, to get through, depending on how many sheets are in there and how many rows are in there. And you might have, you know, fragments of PI contained in a note section. So, you know, you couldn't just highlight an entire column, but you had to look throughout the whole document. The AI is just going to be able to do that so much faster than a human, and it learns over time. So I think this had come up on both of our last podcasts, but the ability for you to train AI to look for similar types of data and then rerun a data set really quickly, right? You might get halfway through a review with humans maybe and realize, oh, there's PI in here that we weren't expecting. You usually don't have the time to go back and, you know, start looking for that as well. Or you have different teams who the work is divided across and they're not necessarily all comparing notes perfectly. And maybe someone realized it was in there, but other people aren't. So I think those are a few, again, the consistent decision-making, the not fatiguing, not wanting, to sleep, are all their advantages for AI. And I'd say anecdotally, these things never tend to occur on a Monday morning when everyone's like, yeah, we got the whole week ahead of us, right? It's end of day on a Friday. Maybe it's late on a Friday. You get a panicked call and now you've got to rally the troops. I think AI is also kind of advantage in that regard. I think with large companies too, some tend to have bigger targets on their back than others. So the ability to, have detectors and have that knowledge built of your organization's data can just speed up the review for a computer as it gets tasked with subsequent breach reviews. And then I think maybe unlike some of the past podcasts that we've done, I feel like breach is especially well-suited for AI and human reviewers to be combined, because there's going to be certain things that the AI can detect, but probably shouldn't be making a final call on, where humans are better able to understand, hey, I found two similar social security numbers, right? Maybe I got the partial or last four from one, I've got a full one over here, but the names aren't quite the same. Maybe one is a nickname. Being able to serve all of those up for a human to make a quick decision on, is another thing that regular expressions or search terms of kind of the status quo typically can't facilitate. And then on the back end, once the humans and AI have gone through any of those hits, to just be able to deduplicate, normalize, and spit out a notification report, as opposed to copying and pasting Excels and trying to connect all the dots, can be just another massive time saver. No shortage of reasons why.
Yeah, makes sense to me. How about some risks? What risks would be associated with using AI for data breach, and maybe some hurdles for adopting it?
Yep. Yeah. So I think to a certain extent, it can depend on what type of data you're talking about, right? Are we looking at a lot of scanned documents, paper forms, maybe health records? And I don't think this is necessarily unique exclusively to AI. I think even for regular expressions, in those types of examples, you're at the mercy of an OCR quality. But if your alternative is just saying, hey, humans are going to just put eyes on all of these documents, depending on the size of the breach, that might be just unrealistic or mathematical impossibility. So, there still may be some risk of using the AI, but it may be the best of your options at that point. And I think just like with some of the other podcasts we've done, there's risks of not using it. right? Like a lot of times there are really strict notification deadlines set by the regulators. And if it's a huge, you know, you've got emails, multiple email servers that are impacted and you've got 60 days to get back to everybody, you know, you run the risk of not hitting those deadlines. And AI can at least help with that. As far as hurdles, I'd say a few things. When you realize an incident has occurred, that is the wrong time to be trying to evaluate a new tool. It is the wrong time to be trying to onboard a new vendor, get them through procurement. Like, no one has time to waste at that moment. So like, those are some of the hurdles I've seen. Like, people are aware, hey, you guys may have a tool that can help us right now. We've never tested it before, but like, our hair is on fire and the clock has started. That is unfortunately usually a scenario that you're not going to be able to help with. And it's also because it's not just the internal team who needs to be bought in, but the law firm needs to be bought in. The service providers need to be bought in. If people haven't used these tools, they need to be trained on it before. So I do feel like the hurdles are surmountable, but a little bit of, you know, being proactive or kind of knowing what's out there, so that way when an incident occurs, you know how to jump over those hurdles, or you've already knocked a few out of the way, can really make the difference.
So I think that led me into like the final question, which is some practical advice to offer the listeners on how would you prepare for a data breach, a potential data breach?
Yep. So yeah, I think probably the most obvious comment is have a plan. And I think at this point, any company of size probably does already. And hopefully it's one that you're never having to exercise, because you're not finding yourself in the sights of bad actors, but yeah, accidents happen too. So I'd say not only have a plan, but does that plan, you have a conversation around how AI fits into that plan, specifically with your outside counsel, your in-house privacy team and colleagues. I would assume that if you're an organization that's unfortunately having frequent incidents, you probably already evaluated some options, or, you know, you're maybe a little bit more focused on how AI can fit in. But I'd say, yeah, have a plan, have that conversation with your outside law firms who you're going to turn to when something goes wrong or does occur. And I'd say do a POC, right? When you have a real breach on your hands, that's the wrong time to be testing something new. One of the best times is, you know, after a breach has unfortunately occurred. Like, for instance, we all do a lot of free POCs. We'll say, you know, use a historical data set where you already have the coding available and feed that same data through the AI. And it can be a really fast way to get a side-by-side in terms of, okay, how did the predictions or how does the accuracy compare, as well as, yeah, how did speed compare? I was just on a call yesterday with an in-house team, and they were talking about how earlier in the year they had a roughly 20 gig matter that took weeks for them to get through. 16-hour days for weeks, not fun. Whereas it was just a few hours using our AI. So kind of figuring out which tools are going to be helpful for your data when you don't have an incident can really help you when one does occur. And even if you don't have a past data set from an incident to use, you know, sandboxes can be set up. You know, I've had clients say, hey, let's just use my email inbox, right? And I'll look for my own PI in there. Like, that can be a low risk way of still gaining some confidence in tools, so you know that they'll perform as you need them to down the road. And then, I think similar to not just testing the tools, but, you know, go through the process of getting vendors set up proactively, right? Like, I know usually no team has a shortage of things that they're trying to accomplish. So like being very proactive and prioritizing something that isn't a current problem, you know, might not be an instinct that, or something that climbs the top of a priority list. But if you're not setting up these vendors, you're not going to be able to use them when, unfortunately, you need them. It's much better to be kind of in the door in a breaking case of emergency type of vendor than not being set up. And maybe the last thing I would say is we're seeing these tools get used for other use cases too. Yes, they are purpose-built for breach response, but it's that same ability to identify PI, which can be really helpful for responding to a DSAR, as an example. And some companies are facing more of those than others. Data subject access request for, I'm assuming it's a well-known acronym at this point, but I realize I'm getting on a tangent, so I will I'll stop there.
All right, thanks, Dan. To be honest, I never thought about using AI for data breach, so now I kind of want to know what's Bear's response plan and how can we help. So thank you so much for your expertise you shared today, and thank you to the audience who will be listening soon, and have a great day, everybody. Thanks.
Thanks, Andrea. Mm-hmm.